Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Carl Zeiss Meditec AG conference call regarding analyst conference, 3 months figures 2019-2020. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor to your host, Mr. Sebastian Frericks.
Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us to our 3 month analyst call. I'm Sebastian Frericks, Director of Investor Relations, and with me, as usual, our President and CEO, Dr. Ludwin Monz, and our CFO, Justus Wehmer. I will hand over to them now to give you an introduction to our financial statements of the first quarter, and afterwards we look forward to taking your questions.
Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ludwin Monz speaking. I also would like to welcome you to Carl Zeiss Meditec's analyst conference on our first quarter of 2019-20. Please turn to slide number 2 of our presentation, which shows the outline of today's conference call. As always, in the first section, I will start with an overview on the results. Then Justus Wehmer, our CFO, will provide you more details on the financials in the next section of the presentation. Afterwards, I will share some highlights, including some comments on the situation in China in light of the coronavirus epidemic. And finally, I will talk about our outlook. So let's continue on slide number 3. I am really glad to report that Carl Zeiss Meditec could use the momentum of last fiscal year and was again able to grow substantially in Q1 compared to the same quarter of prior year. Revenues reached 370 million euros, with strong contributions from both SBUs. Also, in terms of regional split, we do not depend only on one region. We had significant growth in all of the three regions, Americas, EMEA, and APAC. In total, the growth rate was at 14.2%. On a hypothetical constant currency basis, the growth rate was 12.7%. In other words, we had some currency tailwinds, and Justus will go into the numbers more in depth and will discuss growth contributors specifically. The EBIT margin increased to 15.4% versus 14.9% in prior year. Please keep in mind that we had some positive impact from R&D capitalization in Q1 of prior year, which means that the improvement on a like-for-like basis was even higher this year. But we will address this later in the presentation. The margin improvement was supported by a positive development of the product mix, and once again, we increased the share of recurring revenue. But also careful cost management helped. We have worked with the organization on the OPEX awareness. Our net income reached around 39 million euros, which corresponds to earnings per share of 0.43 euros. Prior year it was 0.32 euros. So earnings per share increased due to the EBIT increase and due to the absence of hedging losses that occurred in prior year. Okay, so overall the performance developed really nicely, and I now would like to hand over to my colleague Justus, who will shine some more light on the details of our results. Justus.
Thank you very much, Ludwin, and also good morning and welcome from my side to everybody in the call. We are going to slide 5, please, and I'm now going to give you a more detailed overview of our financials, starting with the performance of our strategic business unit ophthalmic devices. Revenue came in for ophthalmic devices with 269.4 million euro compared to prior year. Reported growth is at 12.5% and currency corrected 11.1. There was strong growth across the portfolio and again good recurring revenue share. We see continued positive effects from innovations we've launched, like the Claro 700 or the Ciro 6000, benefiting our diagnostics portfolio. The refractive laser business continued its strong performance from the past. Here, especially our SMILE technology continues to develop nicely. Again, also a positive trend in surgical ophthalmology, driven by the ophthalmic microscopes, where, as you know, we have launched the Artivo microscope towards the end of last fiscal year. The SBU EBIT margin decreased slightly compared to last year due to some extraordinary or seasonal effects. As Ludwin mentioned earlier, last year Q1 was affected by R&D capitalization, and we also have to remember that IanTech is included fully in the first quarter of this year's financials. Last year, indeed, the acquisition was consolidated only in mid of December of 2018. So from that perspective, we also have an additional expense built into the R&D expenses of this fiscal year. So we were supported by a more favorable product mix, a solid share of recurring revenue, and higher operational leverage. Let's turn over to the next slide and cover our SBU microsurgery, which again delivered outstanding performance. Revenues have reached the 100 million euro threshold versus previous year 84 million euro. This is a revenue increase of around 19.1% and at constant currency still remarkable 17.4% growth. There is a continued strong revenue development growth in neuro ENT, supported by our robotic visualization system, Kinevo, but we also see a good trend for the new Tivato 700. EBIT margin still very strong and improved even further due to volume effects on the one hand side, but also the regional mix and the cost awareness in our organization contributed to that remarkable performance. Let's now take a look at the regional performance. You can see, again, a fairly well-balanced regional split across the three regions. The Americas now showing the 109 million euro of revenue, a strong increase of 18.5%, and at constant currency 15.5% over last year. The U.S. market itself contributed strongly with the growth of 15%. We also, in that region, benefited from the Claro 700 and Cirrus 6000 introduction, and also a good contribution from our MCS business. Also, the Latin American markets, which last year were somewhat disappointing, showed increasing performance. EMEA with 111 million euro and an increase of 7% and at constant currency 6.9%, again with good growth rates. The performance is somewhat more heterogeneous. Some markets, major markets like Germany, France, developing with growth rates in the mid single digits, and some other markets a bit weaker than last year. But overall, we are satisfied with the performance in the first quarter. And last but not least, Asia Pacific with 150 million euro revenues and an increase of 16.9%. And at constant currency, 15.5%, again, contributing strongly to the overall growth. China with good contribution, but also South Korea and Japan. With that, we move over to the P&L. You can see here an increased gross margin with roughly 56% compared to previous year due to positive product mix, especially high share of recurring revenue. OPEX in terms of absolute numbers increased, but OPEX margin overall stable with roughly 40% of sales. Increase in R&D ratio, as we mentioned before, we had the capitalization in previous year and also investments in some of our strategic development projects, which we have outlined in previous calls. In the field of surgical ophthalmology are contributing to the higher expenses for R&D. EBIT of €57 million, significantly above prior year, and EBIT margin, as mentioned before, at 15.4%. If we move on to the next slide, the adjusted EBIT margin reached 15.7%. That's an improvement of 0.6 percentage points versus previous year. There, as you know, are only rather small effects in terms of purchase price allocation related, explaining the difference. And here, the increase is mainly now from the PPA of Jantec. Moving on, finally, to a quick look on the cash flow statement. Operating cash flow reached €26 million. That is above prior year and is mainly driven by the positive EBIT development. Cash flow from investing activities in comparison to last year is mainly affected by the fact that in last year we had the Jantec acquisition, and cash flow from financing activities is mainly influenced by changes in our receivables and payables in our treasury accounts. With that, I would then hand it back to Ludwin.
Yeah, thank you, Justus. And that brings me to the highlights section. And as I said before, I would like to start with some words on the coronavirus outbreak in China. As you may wonder, how that will impact Carl Zeiss Meditec business. And it's a little bit explained on slide number 12. As you know, public life in some regions of China was basically shut down over the last 2 or even 3 weeks. However, it's really important to note that China had the Chinese New Year holiday break anyway. And this break was extended because of the coronavirus epidemic. But nevertheless, it looks like people are returning to work starting today. It was in the news this morning. And we really hope that we will return to normal very soon. As we do not have much information from the end customers yet, it's really difficult to assess the impact of the crisis on our business. But let me a little bit explain our thinking. The Chinese New Year holiday period is typically a period with high volumes of surgical procedures. Our customers had prepared for this, and stocks of consumables were at a high level going into this period. Due to the coronavirus epidemic, many hospitals had closed temporarily or at least restricted their service of non-essential treatments, and refractive surgery is such a treatment. Therefore, the consumption was probably lower than expected, and demand for replenishment of the consumables might drop temporarily. However, our working assumption is that most of the procedures will only be postponed, but not cancelled. So we might see some headwind on our consumable sales in China over the next 1 or 2 months, but the lost revenue should be moderate. Currently, we do not expect the coronavirus epidemic to have a significant impact on our profit and the margin of the full year. Therefore, we confirm our guidance for the ongoing year, although it will be somewhat more difficult now to get to these numbers given the crisis. Obviously, a key question is how long the corona crisis will last and how fast the recovery will be. Nobody knows that, and we will keep you updated on this topic as the situation evolves. So let's move to the next topic. On slide 13, I would like to talk about the reach of our products. As procedures with Carl Zeiss Meditec devices or consumables have grown strongly in recent times, more and more patients get in touch with Zeiss products. That's a very interesting fact, and here I have some fun facts on this slide, basically two examples. With our visual health platform, and we talked about that before, with that platform, which was piloted in India and is currently being rolled out to other countries, we have successfully introduced a new digital business model. The system provides screening for certain eye diseases through mobile stations, even to patients who do not have direct access to ophthalmic specialist care. With this model, we could reach more than 300,000 patients since the introduction in 2015. An even bigger reach we have through our consumable business for refractive and cataract surgery. In 2018-19 alone, we delivered more than 1.4 million intraocular lenses, which contributed to restoring eyesight and improving the quality of life of patients. On the refractive side, we sold more than 1.3 million contact glasses for VisualMax, for both SMILE and LASIK, so really significant numbers. I believe it's also worth mentioning that our forum platform, our digital platform for data management, is currently being used by more than 30,000 healthcare professionals on a daily basis. So also that creates a big visibility of size in the ophthalmic market. Yeah, that were our two highlights. So that brings me to the last agenda item, which is our outlook. So please go to slide number 15. The growth drivers for the medical market in general and in the microsurgery and ophthalmology market in particular are fully intact. And these drivers will lead to further profitable growth, presumably. Let me mention some of the well-known growth drivers. Aging of the population in major parts of the world, growing affluence in countries like China and India, but also others, increasing information access and health awareness. These all lead to more patients. And as a consequence, the patient load and cost of the healthcare systems will go up. Carl Meditech will continue to follow this strategy, which has been successful over the last years. We will continue to focus on our strategic priorities, which are further expand recurring revenue, drive rollout of SMILE refractive laser surgery, extend technology leadership in cataract, lead neuro-ENT market by turning next generation products into business growth. And finally, I would like to mention that digital solutions will play a key role going forward. Yeah, for fiscal year 19-20, we confirm our guidance, which are number one, that we want to grow at least as fast as the markets grow. Number two, we will keep an attractive EBIT margin between 17% and 19%. And number three, midterm, we expect an EBIT margin sustainably above 18%. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our prepared remarks. So we are now happy to take your questions, and I turn back to the moderator to explain the procedure.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 9 followed by the star key on your telephone keypad. Please press 9 star now if you'd like to ask a question. And the first question comes from Mr. Scott Bardo. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much for taking my questions. Yeah, so I wonder if you could share some additional insights into the potential disruption for refractive laser consumables in China. Obviously, these are quite lucrative business lines for the group, and presumably your investments into R&D won't moderate as a result of this near-term disruption. So I guess the nature of the question is, do you still anticipate the prospects for the full range of EBIT margin guidance to be in play, or do you now think it more prudent to adopt more the lower end? So that's question number one, please. Second question, in microsurgery, some very good margin dynamics and growth dynamics in the first quarter. I wonder if you could talk to the sustainability of these margins at these levels. Is this abnormal, or is this the new level that Carl Zeiss sees? And perhaps some feeling on how significant or important the Tivato product is within this divisional mix. Thank you.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for your questions. I will start with the first one, and Justus takes the second. The question whether, given the crisis in China, we will rather end at the low end of our EBIT margin or the high end is really incredibly difficult to tell. As a matter of fact, it very much depends on what I said before, whether the procedures are just postponed within the fiscal year or whether they are cancelled. And we don't know that yet. We just have spoken to one or two clinics, and they are still optimistic, but even they don't know yet. So I think we need to be a little bit patient and see how things develop. It's clear that things are becoming more difficult, right? If actually some of the profitable revenues would be cancelled. But that's speculation for the time being, right? And from what we see and know so far, we would expect that the effect will not be as significant that it would lead us out of the range. But again, I really can't predict whether it will be the low or the high end of the range. We need that range because of that uncertainty. So I ask you for your understanding.
Yusuf. Thank you.
Yeah. Scott, I think the second question referred to the microsurgical business and the, as you said, the good dynamics and the question about the sustainability. I think overall we definitely acknowledge we have now a portfolio which is as refurbished almost as it could be. You know, it started with the Kinevo almost 2 years ago. We extended to the Tivato and Ixtaro. And from that point of view, yeah, we definitely benefit right now from the fact that all products seem to be well received in the market. So portfolio is good. Secondly, we have seen through the last 2 years mainly Europe and US contributing to the growth in neuro, as we have reported about August of last year. We got the approval for China that could indicate that for this year we can hopefully, and provided that Corona is not going to be a lasting issue, that could mean that we also see this year a growth contribution for MCS from China. So in a nutshell, we definitely have some optimism for this fiscal year when it comes to sustainability. Of that growth rate. As you know, we deem that market for MCS as one which is rather, let's say, niche market, and we already command a pretty strong position. So with all the, let's say, pleasure with which we see the current growth rates, but we believe there will be some natural kind of ceilings to it. So maybe that...
Maybe I can add one more thought. The when you look at the margin in microsurgery, there are two factors to it. The one is certainly the growth, right? So we now have more revenue to cover our cost base, and this is what Justus just explained. If that a growth or at least the revenue level actually can be maintained. That will help with the profitability. The other factor is the profitability of the products, right? And new products, the new products that we have introduced are profitable, very profitable, and that might go down a little bit. You know, the price level might go down a little bit, but the first effect remains.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I'll jump back in the queue.
Okay, the next question comes from Mr. Daniel Wendorf. Mr. Wendorf,
hello.
You can now ask your question.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Very good. So thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on the revenue contribution coming from your refractive surgery product suite overall. Can you give us an indication how big this line item is meanwhile, both in terms of instruments and consumables? My second question would be on the margin development in ophthalmic devices. You mentioned already the R&D topic, so my question would be how important was product mix for the margin development in ophthalmic devices? Thank you.
Yeah, regarding the refractive surgery business, how large is that? I really must ask you here for your understanding that we do not break down our revenues to product lines, and that has very simple reasons, which is competition. We don't and cannot make this transparent to our competition, how large and, you know, how profitable the individual product lines are. Let me say this, refractive surgery has become a substantial and very important business for us. That's pretty clear. But I cannot provide numbers for this, unfortunately. Regarding the margin development of ophthalmic devices, it's indeed a question of product mix. The trend which we have been discussing here for many years is that we work on increasing the share of recurring revenue. And recurring revenue is implants, but also consumables. And that class of products tends to be more profitable than the equipment business. And at the same time, it tends to have a different cycle when it comes to economic ups and downs. And this is why we are interested in further increasing and growing the recurring business. And we see a constant shift of our product mix from the equipment to a larger fraction of recurring revenue. And this clearly is an important contribution to the margin development, which we have seen over the last years.
Okay, thank you.
Hope that answers your questions. Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, partly.
Sorry for that, but no numbers on product lines. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next question comes from Mr. Marcos Gola. Mr. Gola, you can now ask your question.
Hi, and thanks for taking my question. So my first one is also a follow-up on the coronavirus. I wonder whether you can give us some additional color how the Kinevo rollout has been progressing so far this year, given that I think the period January to March is quite important for that rollout, and the fact you mentioned in the conference call that most clinics have been busy with other stuff at the moment. And my second question is on your cost base. So will you be able to postpone some of the cost build-up you have anticipated if your top-line growth slows down noticeably in order to protect your margins? Thank you.
Yeah, I start with the first one on the coronavirus. We have received approval for Kinevo in China, actually beginning of this fiscal year or end of last, I don't remember exactly. But we are now in the process of ramping up demos. This is a large ticket item for our customers, so they definitely want to see a demo. They want to try out the product before they actually acquire. And the other thing to keep in mind is that given the large amount we are talking about, customers have to reserve funds and in some cases have to apply for funds. So typically it takes a while until the money is available and they can actually do purchase the product. So in other words, the time scale here is rather month, if not quarters of a year, right, and not weeks. And the corona crisis now slows down the country, hopefully for not more than a few weeks, right? So I would not expect a significant impact of the coronavirus on the rollout of the Kinevo, because it's just different time scales. The second question for Justus.
I think you were asking about to what extent we can basically breathe or adjust our OPEX behavior if we were hit by negatively in our top line. The answer is, you know, we have already a while ago implemented in our organization concept of what we call resilience, which basically means that if we feel the need to adjust expenses, we are kind of prepared and know where and what we may consider in order to postpone along the you know, cost items and expenses by types that we have, and this includes, you know, sales and marketing as much as G&A and R&D. From that perspective, I can only tell you that we, I think we have the instruments. However, to what extent we have to make use of it, of course, right now remains to be seen. But there is clearly a portion on our OPEX that is variable and that we will manage with a lot of scrutiny if need be.
I would also like to mention that in last crisis, actually, we did not stop our R&D investments, and that paid back when we came out of the crisis. So if we can afford it, and that really depends on what the crisis would be, if there was one, right? Right now we don't see a crisis, but if there was a crisis and then, you know, we would need to make that judgment as Justus describes. We are prepared, but again, if possible, we would continue to invest at least in research and development.
Great. Thank you.
And the next question comes from Mr. Falko Friedrichs. Mr. Friedrichs, you can now ask your question.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I would have three, please. Firstly, on China, can you expand a bit on your supply chain there in terms of how much is produced in the country and how the rest is brought into the country currently? Then secondly, on your IOL business, can you update us on the approval process in the US? What are the next steps here, and is everything on track for a launch next year? And then thirdly, on your diagnostics business, which showed very strong growth again, after launching new products, how long do you tend to benefit from that in terms of growth until the competition catches up, just based on your experience from the past?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Friedrich. Yeah, I start with the China question. The supply chain, well, there are two things to look at. The one is our own manufacturing in China. So we do manufacture also in China, but not to a very large extent. Given the few weeks of slowdown that we see right now, I would not expect a major impact of that. Going forward, difficult to predict. So if the corona crisis would last for, let's say, 2, 3, 4 months, of course we would see something, but for the time being, you know, 2 weeks, we can certainly bridge. Then there is the other component, and that is the supply of components, which we purchase in China and which are integrated into our devices elsewhere, in Europe, in Americas, in Asia. This is mainly electronics components. So we depend on electronics components which are manufactured by several or many companies in China and then are supplied to us. And here the same thing applies, right? Right now, we don't see an effect. If the crisis would last longer, that definitely would change. But again, I have no idea how long it'll take and how large the stocks in with our suppliers are actually are, right? Because typically suppliers have stocks of electronics components which we can consume, and we would need to find out. But again, for the time being, I believe we are okay, and I think that this crisis will be over in a few weeks. Regarding the IOL business in the US, there's no news, which is good news. We are currently conducting our clinical trial that goes as planned. Nothing new on that. So I would expect that we can hold the time plan. However, keep in mind, in the end, the final approval will not only depend on us. We need to provide the clinical study results to the FDA and some more documentation, but then it's up to the FDA how long it really takes until we get an approval, or if they have further questions, nobody knows. So that still has some uncertainty. But again, there's no news here, which I believe is good news. And your third question was on the diagnostics business. When there's something new, how long does it take until competition catches up? A general answer is also difficult because I believe it depends on the product. There are certain, and of course on the feature. So in some cases, for example, let's take an OCT, and you remember a few years ago we introduced OCT angiography, and then it took maybe a year until competitors had something similar. Our main competitor was still struggling because their hardware was not prepared for this, so although they had some similar feature, it was not as good. Then it took them relatively long. If you take a typical product and a competitor would need to develop that product from scratch, so start, we come up with something new and assume the competitor would say, oh, we should have something similar, and they start a development. Then the time until that competitive product in diagnostics would hit the market is between 3 and 5 years. Yeah. So it really depends. It can be faster if it's just a minor modification of an existing product, but if it's something entirely new, it's several years.
Okay, thank you.
And there are further questions from Mr. Daniel Wendorf.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. I would have a follow-up question on the performance of your rather old legacy products in microsurgery. Can you comment on this, how well these products still did in the quarter? Thank you.
I'm just thinking, what are old legacy products? I mean, in microsurgery, in neurosurgery, our flagship product used to be the Pentero, which is now replaced by the Kinevo. And the idea of the Kinevo introduction is to really replace the Pentero. So it's just natural that the Pentero sales goes down as the Kinevo sales goes up. So what we typically do is we basically add the two, right? So Pentero sales plus Kinevo sales, and here we clearly see some growth, and this is what results in the overall growth of MCS, so I believe we are good there. If you take the Tivato, that replaces the Opmi Vario, which really was an old product, you could call it legacy product. And here it's basically the same. So the idea is that the new product will replace the old one. So also the old one goes down, and it will basically be taken from the market at some point in time. The timescale, by the way, to do this such a transition depends on the approval situation. So, for example, Pentero, we are still selling Pentero in China to a large extent. We will also keep the Pentero in the market in a lower market segment, but the high end will be fully replaced once we have the approval in all countries, which in the meantime for the Kinevo is basically the case. Yeah. So overall, the legacy products are in the process of being replaced, and that's actually the intent.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there are no more questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 9 star now on your telephone keypad, please press 9 star on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 9 star now. Please press 9 followed by the star keypad on your telephone keypad.
Okay, if there are no further questions?
There are no further questions.
Then I would like to thank you, dear ladies and gentlemen, for your interest in Carl Zeiss Meditec. We will keep you posted on the development, and latest after Q2, we'll talk to you again in our Q2 call. Thanks and have a good time.